Welcome in. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor, and I'm happy to have back with me this evening. We're doing this on Wednesday, November the 14th. My friend Steve Hansen, president of International Frontier Resources. Steve, thanks for joining me tonight.
Pleasure to be with you again, Chris.
One of the things I like about this company, folks, and by the way, International Frontier Resources is on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol IFR. And here in the OTC on their QB listing, it is IFRTF. The big energy news in the story right now is the plunge in the price of crude oil from, I'm using round numbers, $75 a barrel on the West Texas Intermediate crude contract down to the mid-50s, pretty abrupt in about 6 weeks' time. The other big story that's getting a little bit less attention, relatively speaking, is the spike in natural gas prices to, almost overnight nearing $5. Might not stay there, but we may be seeing evolving here a higher equilibrium price than what we've had in the last few years. But Steve, you and International Frontier Resources are operating in a place and the first foreign company now to get cash flow out of oil properties in Mexico. You're operating in a place where the fundamentals are decidedly different, where one of the things that's making you successful now and hopefully will as time goes on is that you're in a country where their domestic production is very, very low and you're trying to turn that around. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, thanks, Chris. We were an early entry into Mexico as part of their energy reform, and it was truly a historic and unprecedented denationalization of assets in Mexico. And we were fortunate enough to acquire a field in Mexico. And what really made us attractive in this particular field and certainly other regions of Mexico is that you've got access to infrastructure. You've got some of the best pricing for crude in North America. As you mentioned, production has been declining in Mexico for many years. There's a need for new investments, new discoveries, and again, the domestic demand in Mexico is excellent. In our field, which we brought into production this spring through a workover and over an older well, and then we drilled, as you mentioned, a new well in the summertime. We've now had the field back on production here since the third week of September. Again, we're getting some of the best prices in North America for our crude, and we sell to Pemex, which is the state oil company. So we're pleased with our progress. We're into cash flow now as a company. As you mentioned, we're one of the first foreign companies to get through this process in almost 80 years, actually. So, we're demonstrating that we can have success in country. When we bid on this block a number of years ago, when we were ultimately awarded it, oil was trading between $35 and $40 US, and we felt we could be profitable in that price range as a commodity. So we're extremely comfortable in the $55 to $70 range. Again, we can make good money on that, a good net back, decent cash flow, and again, that's one of the attributes regarding Mexico that we like. It's conventional drilling, porosity, permeability, naturally fractured formations really make it attractive for foreign companies, Canadian and American, to go into Mexico and utilize our skill and technology and do what we've been doing in the southern states and western Canada for decades.
Well, and one of the nice things about what's happened with you recently, Steve, is that when you started the first production testing of your well back in the summer, it started out disappointing. You had a lot of water, not as much oil, and since then it's completely turned around. It's turned into be a real producer, and it's right in that same area now where you're going to be doing your first horizontal well, the Tech 11, which theoretically, at least, as usually happens with horizontal wells, should increase the production significantly over what you have right now. Isn't that right?
That's right, Chris. And this field was drilled by Pemex between 1956 and 72. And there had been a little work done on the field since the early 70s. In going into this field, we knew there was oil there. We knew there were conventional opportunities. The 3D seismic that was shot by Pemex was excellent, and we certainly interpreted that this field could be a solid producer. But you really don't know in the science on the formation until you begin drilling. And so, in fact, sure enough, we had a heavy amount of water to start in the well. And it's not a total surprise, but it certainly wasn't what we'd expected. But over time, as we tested that well, oil flowed into the system. And in fact, the water depleted, larger amounts of oil started to flow. And it's been steadily producing now for the last couple of months. And in fact, we announced recently that it's flowing over 180 barrels of oil per day on average through the month of October. And we expect that well to continue to produce over time, delivering cash flow to the company. And again, the field has great opportunity to continue to use the drill bit to extend the field and certainly extend the resource. So we announced on Monday of this week that we've spudded and started to drill the very first horizontal well to be drilled in this region into the formation. Again, horizontal wells, as you mentioned, typically do 3 to 6 times a vertical well. This will have almost 0.6 of a mile lateral leg, you know, multiple perforations along the lateral. And again, it should flow extremely well. Again, there's no guarantee or 100% success rate in these things. But, you know, based on the science that we've done and the analysis by my team over the last few months, we believe this new horizontal well should perform extremely well. It'll take about 30 days to drill, and then we expect to complete and bring that well under production sometime here in December.
That's neat. And so looking ahead, you've got a couple of significant things in sight. One is, of course, as time goes on, you're going to further develop the Tecolutla field and hopefully have a lot more production down the road. But soon, early in 2019, in fact, there's going to be the next opportunities for International Frontier Resources to get additional acreage, additional concessions there, both from the government directly as well as through farm outs with Pemex. Now, you and I have kept in very close contact for a while now because, as a lot of people know, Mexico has a new president who will be officially taking office on the 1st of December, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, President López Obrador, or AMLO is the acronym of his full name. A lot of people just call him that. Initially, the worries were that he was going to put the kibosh on the privatization of the energy industry. That has kind of been turned around. There may be tweaks here and there. And I've often likened it to what's gone on in Ecuador with the mining industry, where the government inevitably understands that in order to pay its bills and pay social services and things like that, it needs revenue. And Mexico is sitting on vast energy reserves that have not been handled or developed very efficiently. And so he knows he needs this help. And, you know, hopefully the attitude of AMLO stays that way. And that said, you've got a couple of opportunities coming up. You and your partner, Grupo Odessa, the large Mexican chemicals and energy conglomerate. Tell us about the two parts of this, Steve, coming up, the government as well as the Pemex farm outs themselves.
Well, the purpose of the energy reform when the current president constitutionally made reforms was to attract investment into the industry, and that was for downstream, midstream, and upstream, deep water, shallow water, and onshore. And there's been a series of rolling auctions that have taken place over the last 3 years, which we've been a participant. It's estimated that already $200 billion of investment from foreign and local Mexican companies are now earmarked as part of this energy reform. Again, that significant investment is to continue to increase the resources in Mexico to create a supply that continue to grow industry in Mexico, to invest in areas that Pemex was unable to. And really, Pemex has been cash-strapped as a state oil company. They haven't been able to invest in infrastructure as well as many of these fields throughout Mexico. So it's perfectly understood why a state oil company would want to have partners come in investing alongside. And so we're encouraged by the new government. They certainly now believe that foreign participation And also local participation is important. We alone in our company provide royalties to the Mexican government and cash flow. We provide crude to Mexico, and we employ indirectly or indirectly, you know, between 100 and 125 people with our project at its early stages. So the spirit of the energy reform, you know, we've demonstrated success in that regard. So there's a large onshore auction that's scheduled to take place on February 14th. We're registered and been in the data room since late winter of last year, and our expectation is to participate in that bid round and hopefully acquire another oil and gas field. In addition to that, Pemex, the state oil company, is offering farm out opportunities where we can partner with Pemex and participate in the fields that they control. Again, these are exceptional assets, and we announced a couple weeks ago a partnership with a very large service provider who we will partner with and bid with in that Pemex farm out round. And they bring great strategic abilities and history to the table. And then we complement each other's skill set extremely well. So, you know, there's multiple ways that we can grow our business. Obviously, we're currently focused on day to day on our existing field, continuing to increase production, continuing to increase reserves. But our goal here is in 2019 to acquire another project. And again, our expectation, subject to changes by the government, is that those bid rounds and Pemex farmouts will take place in mid-February.
Neat. And again, I can't help but make at least some comparison with Ecuador. Those who follow me on my website and the commentaries I give, of course, I've talked a lot about the rollout of the mining industry there, where you have the entire rib of the Andes from south to north that produces 40-some percent of the total planet's copper, and you've got one conspicuous area that's been underdeveloped, really undeveloped, and that is now going to be catching up. And I see Mexico the same way. It's a country with vast oil reserves that have not been developed and exploited properly. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Steve. I'll let you characterize this, but back when you and I first met and I was getting my head around this whole story, what I found remarkable is your description of a lot of these areas, including Tecolutla, the field that you have and that you're now producing, that are like being in basins in Canada or the U.S. decades ago. Am I overstating that?
Yeah, in many cases, our team, you know, they've not seen assets like this in or fields like this in their careers. It's like going into Texas or Alberta in the 1970s. Again, large oil pools that have not had new technology or even horizontal drilling deployed. So again, a perfect opportunity for Canadian and American companies to go into Mexico and utilize our know-how. You know, there's been over 15,000 horizontal wells drilled in Texas, and there's been you know, only a few dozen in Mexico. So, you know, it's it is appropriate for us to go into a country like this. You know, Halliburton, Schlumberger, Weatherford, and other American service providers have been in Mexico for decades providing services to Pemex. They have offices and iron yards in many of the major oil and gas cities. And then now with these this energy reform, you know, we're seeing participants like Exxon, Chevron, BP, Total, CNOOC, and others who are participating and seeing this phenomenal opportunity in Mexico unfold in the Gulf of Mexico and also onshore in Mexico. So we are a first mover. We're one of the first companies to go into Mexico and demonstrate success. And so this really is an early opportunity for investors to participate in what is truly one of the greatest energy opportunities in the world today. You know, we've demonstrated success. We've got a great team, a great partnership, as you said, with Grupo Odessa, our petrochemical partner. And we've got a board and a management team that has had success around the world, in the Middle East, in South America, in Africa, in Asia, and in the U.S. and Canada. We're used to working in foreign environments. And again, our goal here is to grow the business into a very large company one day and be an energy leader in Mexico.
That's neat. Well, folks, you really need to get your own head, as I have, around this story. It's an unsung energy story right now that's kind of been pushed out of the headlines. But here you've got a company that has got a great partner in Mexico that is now producing oil, that now has positive cash flow, and it looks like better things coming down the road, regardless of what the crude oil price is doing. It's remarkable, in fact, that in Mexico, companies are actually getting a higher price for their oil than West Texas Intermediate crude, whereas those of you who are invested in Canadian companies know that the pricing has just gone right down the toilet again, at least for right now. So it's a good story, good company. Check it out. InternationalFrontier.com is their website. Mine, of course, as you know, is nationalinvestor.com. Click on Featured Opportunities, and you'll see increasingly more about International Frontier Resources. So, Steve Hansen, thanks for joining me, and I look forward to more news as this next well gets drilled.
Great, Chris. Appreciate the time, and look forward to talking to you again.